nation. We need help today in overcoming efforts by parties to manipulate our thinking to their own evil ends. It happens at the international level and in the media. On the one hand, Matt Kate Lewis of the Los Angeles Times wrote that the February 28 meeting of Ukraine's President Zelensky and President Trump was an attack on Zelensky by President Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance. Vance called Zelensky disrespectful and said that he should be more thankful to Trump, that the clash was a calculated act of degradation, reinforcing the message that under Trump, Ukraine is expected to grovel for every bullet. However, Miranda Devine of the New York Post on March 3rd gave a contrasting view of the meeting. She claimed that President Zelensky contradicted, interrupted, and insulted Trump, and at the end of the meeting, when he'd blown up the whole Minerals for Aid deal, Zelensky smirked and gave the thumbs up to someone off camera among the press, as his ambassador was sitting a few feet away watching the debacle unfold with her head in her hands. President Trump had told President Zelensky, "Don't tell us what we're going to feel because you're in no position to dictate that." Zelensky ambushed Trump. He just got more than for what he bargained for, even though Ukraine cannot survive without America. It's interesting that since then, Mr. Zelensky has changed his mind and posture, but it's interesting. It occurs in many American institutions. George Leaf's article, "Can the U.S. Withstand the Socialist Left's Assault in the Epoch Times," noted that the socialist left's influence would not exist without deception. For given the horrific record of Marxist nations, you wouldn't think there could be any doubt about that. So Marxists took over many American institutions in an attempt to fool the masses. In other words, Marxists knew that if they came right out as Marxists, the vast majority of Americans would respond negatively. So they sought to take over the institutions, whether it was academic institutions, medical, or whatever, and then try to push their ideology on us through the back door, and it didn't work. It occurs at the personal level as well. Last Tuesday, Daniel Chakovitz, the former house director of the Thomaston Opera House, was sentenced for controlling and violently sexually assaulting teen girls who had worked in the theater and who had tried to further their careers by pleasing this man. Then in one of the worst mind-controlling cases in our state's history, a 32-year-old man who had been held captive in a Waterbury home for more than 2 decades set fire to his room on February 17 because he wanted his freedom, according to court documents. The facts in this case, quite frankly, are something out of a horror movie. That's without exaggeration, Supervisory Assistant State's Attorney Don Thierkildsen said. The man was extremely emaciated. I believe he's 5'10" tall, weighed 68 pounds. His hair was matted, it was unkempt, and he was dirty, and his teeth appeared to be rotted, according to a warrant for his alleged captor's address. In other words, he had not seen a medical doctor all those years. So we ask, what does God direct that we do to overcome evil, benign manipulation? I want to read the passage that we have in front of us, and then we'll look at it. Psalm 119, verses 129 to 136. "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore does my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the naive. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest us to those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of men, so I will keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down my eyes, because they keep not thy law." Psalm 119, 129 to 36. The psalmist faced the problem of evil mind manipulators as follows. The psalmist sought God's relief from the oppression or the extortion, the Hebrew word is oshek, of man. that by implication left the psalmist simple, that is, simple-minded, or a better word is naive, according to the theological word book of the Old Testament. One form of extortion is what psychologists term emotional blackmail, where the oppressor uses false guilt, shame, emotional intimidation, etc., to control the thinking of his victim in order to control him. In essence, what the psalmist faced is what we face today, and evil mind manipulation. It's a very sad, but it's a very common evil. And like I said, I was shocked this past week about learn about these two cases, one with the former director of the Thomaston Opera House, and then also of this situation in Waterbury, where a 32-year-old man had been kept prisoner by his stepmother for 21 years in the house. But it's a problem that is on the rise. Well, God's deliverance from evil mind manipulation is one's application of Scripture truth, and this comes out in verses 129 to 136. The psalmist offered great praise to the Lord for his written word, for it ministered to his inner man. Specifically, the psalmist appreciated how well Scripture releases naive people from evil manipulators. The doorway, petah, or entrance, as the King James Version says, of Scripture gives light and discerning understanding. Bin is the word to discern or split between something. And it gives that understanding to the petit, or to the naive. This is an amazing statement. A naive person doesn't have to be an expert in theology. All he has to do is open the Word of God and begin reading it. And just the very doorway of Scripture itself gives understanding to a naive person. So this is why we recommend reading Scripture. You don't have to be a theological expert to be blessed by Scripture or to gain discernment from it. The Word of God is so powerful and so clear to the heart that it can communicate very powerfully, even to a person who even considers himself naive. Well, the psalmist explained how this worked in his life in Psalm 119, verses 131 to 135. He longed for Scripture's liberating and edifying insight to overcome oppressive manipulators like an animal that pants for air. Now, if a person is suffering from mind manipulation, he may be really hungry for insight. And that hunger works in his favor when it comes to reading Scripture, because if you're hungry enough, the Lord's going to give you the food, and it's going to be something that's quite amazing. While reading Scripture and heeding it, the oppressed psalmist witnessed God bless him by making sovereign judgments in his favor in his life. And as the psalmist read God's word, the Lord gave him step-by-step guidance to escape the mind-control efforts of evil mind manipulators. You notice verse 133a, "Order my steps in thy word." God not only lays a path out in front of us, he tells us the steps to take in the path. And that's what's precisely wonderful in the Word of God. As the psalmist read and applied Scripture in his life, he had no sin ruling over him, so that the oppressor and the mind manipulator could not use false guilt effectively to manipulate his thinking. One of the great inroads of mind manipulators is guilt. They'll lay a false guilt out or an expectation that you're supposed to live up to. One thing the Word of God will do is reveal that that's false. You don't have to live up to that expectation because God doesn't expect it of you. Scripture in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon me and learn on you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Very contrasting to the Pharisees who laid heavy burdens on people with very heavy legalistic rules. Christ says, "My rules are easy, they're light." And the Word of God will do that. He'll release you from false guilt because you'll see the error of the person who's trying to lay that false guilt upon you, and it won't affect you. In time, God rescued the psalmist from the control of mind manipulators who tried to hold him hostage to their will for their own interests. And that's what a manipulator will do. He's not interested in how you feel. He's interested in what he can make you do, because he has a personal interest. He's trying to use you to satisfy his own interests or his own ego. Thus, the psalmist found that through reading and applying Scripture in his life, he enjoyed God's blessing expressed in the figurative expression of God's face shining upon him. In Psalm 119, verse 135, the idea of God's face shining on you is a reference to the blessing that the high priest would give to the people of Israel in Numbers chapter 6, verse 25. When the high priest would bless the people, one of the phrases that he would use is, "May the face of God look upon you," or shine upon you. And that's a picture in the ancient Near East of gaining the favor and approval of God. And that's what you want if you're a person that's suffering from mind manipulation. You want to know that God approves of you, that God accepts you. Maybe the mind manipulator doesn't because he's got a false guilt project going, but God accepts you. And that's what the psalmist was looking forward to. And that's opposite the sadness and the lack of blessing of being under the control of evil mind manipulators. One of the characteristics of mind manipulators is that they will always leave you feeling bad, bad about yourself. It's very interesting. God doesn't do that. God will point out sin, but he'll point out, this is how you handle your sin. This is how you can get back in fellowship with me. And that's one thing about God. He can leave you with hope and with a solution to the problem. A mind manipulator won't. Mind manipulator will leave you feeling bad. He wants to keep you feeling bad so he can continue to control. Well, the psalmist then expressed his grief over those who suffered great mental pain as victims of evil mind manipulation because they did not read and heed the word of God. Notice verse 136, "Rivers of waters run down my eyes because they do not keep your law." So important to be in the word of God. So the lesson is, though facing evil mind manipulation by a self-serving party, the psalmist found that reading and applying Scripture provided him full relief from the trial, eliciting his great praise to the Lord. So the first thing by way of application, of course, we have to be in right relationship with God in order to receive his ministry through his word to us. And I repeat this each Sunday because it's extremely important. May we trust in Christ who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. John 3:16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1-11. All of us have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. But God sent his Son, Jesus Christ. He came to this earth. He died on the cross in our place to bear our sin on the cross. He died, he was buried, he rose again, he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for our weaknesses and our sins as believers. So if we put our faith in Christ, if we trust in him, we are given eternal life, and we are also brought into the family of God. And once we're into the family of God, then we can apply the truths of Scripture that we're going to talk about in the conclusion section so we can overcome mind manipulation. So to escape or to avoid hurtful, unedifying, evil mind manipulation, may we read and apply Scripture as a continual way of life. The key is continual exposure to the Word of God. Continually. I often tell people, don't try to make yourself read a whole chapter a day. You might not have the time. But if you can focus on one verse, and that verse sticks with you through the day, it's amazing what you can do. A lot of times I'll pick on a proverb, one that's short and pithy. I'll stick that in my mind. I use that sometimes. Some proverbs are important. We've had a proverb on our put up on our refrigerator. We've had it there probably for a couple of decades. It's been there a long time, but every time I look at that, man, it's a blessing. I read that thing. So the Word of God is powerful, so we need to be exposed to it constantly. Well, Scripture provides us insight for handling the issues of concern in our sermon introduction, equipping us to avoid being misled and controlled by evil mind manipulators in each case as follows. As for the discerning of the truth, to avoid being manipulated with the contrasting views or news reports in the February 28th Oval Office meeting between President Trump and Ukraine's President Zelensky, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12, especially in the New International Version, asserts, quote, "Ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both," end of quote. Now, what's interesting, a mind manipulator will try to get you to doubt what you've seen with your eyes and what you've heard with your ears. God says, no, What you've seen with your eyes and what you've heard with your ears is reality. Go with that. So, if we go with that, and go with that, God gave us eyes, God gave us ears, he gave us minds to discern a lot of realities, and in doing so, we note that Matt Lewis's Los Angeles Times report does not explain why Vice President Vance in that meeting would call Ukraine's president disrespectful and tell him to be more thankful of President Trump. Conversely, Miranda Devine's report in the New York Post of President Zelensky's smirking and gesturing thumbs up to a member of the press, while his own ambassador to the U.S. sat nearby with her head in her hands, readily explains Vice President Vance's claim that President Zelensky was being disrespectful. If anything, Vance's remark was an understatement. Also, Proverbs 16:30, New International Version again, asserts, quote, "He who winks with his eye is plotting diversity. He who purses his lips is bent on evil." Excess body language, as exhibited by President Zelensky, exposes perverse motives. Then President Zelensky has since changed his political position since the February 28th meeting, but acting as he did in that Oval Office meeting, he revealed a divisive and a perverted character like Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 describes. In addition, we conclude that Matt Lewis's report was biased against President Trump and Vice President Vance because he failed to mention the obvious character deficiency in President Zelensky, where Miranda Devine's report was more balanced and objective. I've read a lot of Miranda Devine's reports, a number of them, and she's very direct, but she seems to be very balanced. And so I'm beginning to trust her judgment more. On the left, having to deceive the American public by taking over many of the nation's institutions due to the obvious historical failure of Marxist ideology in many nations, Proverbs 17:12 in the NIV states, "Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his folly." Marxists are relentlessly, foolishly destructive, as this verse describes. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 20, states, "A man of perverse heart does not prosper. He whose tongue is deceitful falls into trouble." Marxists for generations have failed to deflect attention from the destructiveness of their ideology in many nations, since they function with a perverse morality that can never prosper or bring happiness to any people group. Marxists' track record alone should warn all people everywhere to reject its ideology. Wherever Marxists have taken over the government for any length of time, there's always been oppression that's occurred to its people. It's never blessed. So just on the record alone, you don't have to pay attention even to the Bible, if you don't want, or someone doesn't want, as to critiquing Marxism. Just look what it does to its people. It's always wrecked it. On evil mind manipulators at the personal level, this is where we're talking about the former director there in the Thomason Opera House, and also this woman that kept her stepson locked in the house for 21 years. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 and 2, A and 6, in the New International Version, warns that some people in the latter days of church history will worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Now, sometimes these are men that worm their ways into homes. Sometimes women have this controlling mentality as well. But this is a problem. So to handle this evil, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, claims that a spiritual believer discerns all things, where an ungodly person who functions by his sinful nature does not discern the spiritual state of other people. So to avoid controlling manipulation by evil people, a believer must first rely upon the Holy Spirit, that's Galatians 5:16, for discernment. So if you're relying on the Spirit of God, you can have the discernment. The Lord will give you that discernment. And this is something that can come to a believer of any age. Even a child who's filled with the Spirit of God has a level of discernment, and he can figure out that there's a problem. He may not know everything that's going on, but he can shy away from that, which is a problem. Once that believer discerns someone to be an evil mind manipulator, 2 Timothy 3:5 directs the believer to withdraw from the evil mind manipulator for his own personal welfare. When I was a child, I was about 4 years of age, I think. I had to be a ring bearer in a wedding, and I had to walk with a girl, which was horribly horrifying for me at age four. She was a flower girl, and we had to walk together down the aisle. I was in a wedding. And I remember I was so humiliated doing that. But I did it because my parents made me do it. I just focused on the ring, and I went down like this. And she was busy throwing flower petals around and everything, and I was just like this, just terrified. And went by, and I gave it, didn't drop the ring, thankfully, and everything. But later on, I was a small child. I didn't know the Lord as my Savior at the time. Later on, I was a teenager, and there was pressure on me to date that particular girl. And I had very strong vibes, and I thought, I really shouldn't. And come to find out later on, I didn't know it at the time, but she was heavily into immorality, had no idea of it. But there was just a strong impulse within me, and I'd accepted Christ as my Savior 3 years before that. And the Lord really strongly protected me from that, but I had a tremendous sense of revulsion. So the Lord can work. You know, if you know the Lord is your Savior, even if you don't know all the facts, and you're relying on the Spirit of God, He can give you the discernment that you need to do what you need to do. So may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. Then to escape or to avoid evil mind manipulation, may we always read and apply God's word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Father, for the fact that your word, as it is, has tremendous application to our lives as we live them. And we know that you want us to have victory over evil mind manipulation. And we face increasingly more of it. We face it in the world, sometimes in the media, sometimes on the national and international scene. Sometimes we face it even in our personal lives. And we're going to be facing more of this because we know your word has predicted it. So we ask, Father, that as believers, we would rely upon your word more and more, that we would have the discernment and keep out of trouble and keep away from troublesome people that way, and at the same time have a very balanced and a positive outlook and relating to other people. We ask, Father, that if there's anyone in our midst this morning who as yet does not know Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior from sin, or who may be listening by way of the MP3 recording, that they might make that decision today to trust in Jesus Christ, that they might have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.